Hello and welcome to episode number 62 of Investing from the Beach. I'm your host. I'm Chris Hansen. I've got my co-host with me today, Mr. Chris Lamb.
Hey there, it's Chris Lamb.
If it's your first time listening to the show, my suggestion would be take a listen to this episode. And maybe, and then if it grabs you, if it resonates, if it makes sense, if it's logical, then go back and start with episode number one and run through about the first 7-8 episodes in there. The purpose of this podcast is to talk about the how to think and what it takes to get to time freedom or financial freedom. The first 7-8 episodes, we go into a fair amount of detail of what we mean by how to think. And so take a listen to this once again. If it's your first time listening, just see if our logic resonates with you, if you like our sense of humor, whatever it may be. If it grabs you, go on and listen to those first 7-8 episodes. And we talk about the how to think aspect of reaching time freedom. What we found on that, and people that have told in the past to do that, they come back after about listening to the first 10, 12, 15 episodes. They're like, oh, I get it. This clicks. I'm on top of it. A warning for you, the audio quality, and we hadn't really found our voice in those first 7-8 episodes. Going back and listening at it can be a little rough, a little painful for the one whose voice is on the recording, but the content is good. So
don't. And the humor can be very dry.
And not very good. Not very good. But quick background on the two of us. We both reached time freedom via the stock market. I got there when I was about 40. Chris got there when he was about 30. We both worked for IBM. We both were in sales. I'm about 20 years wiser and better looking than Chris is. And I joke with people and say, as I was trying to find my way out the door once I'd hit freedom or was very close to it, Chris was coming in as an intern and trying to get his name on one of the curb, or what do you call it, the little markers in the parking lot so he can
get a plaque on the wall, you know?
Just then you want to remove it as quickly as you can. But so we overlapped by a couple of years at IBM, and then I left. He stayed there for a few more years, working some more and figuring it out, and he was able to leave at 30. Like I said, I had left at 40. We developed a great friendship while there, and it continued to blossom and, I guess, mushroom over the years. When I left, wasn't really sure what I was going to do. Somebody at one point said, hey, tell me about what you do. And so I ended up started teaching people. It turned into a class. When Chris was getting ready to leave, he said, I don't really know what I'm going to do. And I said, well, I need someone to sit at the desk and sign people in. I can keep you busy one day a month. And so that was his agreement. So Chris voluntarily shows up and he signs people in at this class that I teach. In the podcast, what we end up talking about is not really the rules, the mechanics, the cookbook, the how to do of reaching time freedom via the stock market. What we talk about is the how to think. And it's been the experience of both of us, and we've taught a bunch of people to get how to get to freedom. A bunch of people have done it. What we discovered along the way is it's not the how to do that it's the big component. The how to do is actually about 5% of what it takes to get there. The big elephant in the room that nobody wants to address is what it takes to reach freedom is the how to think. And it's about 95% of the equation at a minimum. And that's the purpose of this podcast. We talk about just the how to think. The idea for the podcast was generated by a guy who actually sat through the class, who's a podcast producer. He grabbed me for lunch one day and said, you guys have got an incredibly unique message that people need to hear, and it is great. Could you put it in a podcast? Didn't know what the hell he was talking about, but 2 years later, here we are. And that's where we are today.
Yeah, to someone who just started to listen to the podcast, most people, you know, like say randomly, let's say if they were searching for something to learn or something, some entertainment around finance, and they come up with they stumble upon our podcast, they may get a little confused. What do you mean by how to think? You know, why do we address how to think so much? Because we realize that when we started our journey, you know, we're also looking for, you know, ways to do things. And then after achieving time freedom and reflecting back in that process or through that journey, you realize it's all the mental state that you have to succeed. Because so many people along the way, you know, we've met that was, you know, fortunate to have the same information that we have, but they didn't have the right mentality and they would drop out, right? They would quit or they would try to do something else. but never stuck in and put in the work. So we realize it's very important to share the how to think part, and that's why we have this podcast. And you know, for Chris having a teenager, me having a toddler, is something we can leave behind for those or for them later on. You know, when we're not no longer walking on this earth here, there's information that we can leave behind here, recorded, allowing them to learn from us. So it's very important to address that side of the mindset that allows you to succeed in whatever you do. Because if you go out there and you try to listen to podcasts and get information on how to do, it's not going to take you there. It's not going to take you very far if you don't have the mindset. So very important part is get the mindset part, installed first, and then everything else follows.
Excuse me, I've met lots and lots of people that have a trading background, and they can tell me all kinds of things about how to read stock charts and how to read financial statements and whatever else, and ask them what they do for a living, and they're still working. They haven't been able to put it together to reach freedom, which tells me that intellectually they might have all the how-to-do characteristics nailed down and memorized and understood, but they haven't put it together to figure out how to get to freedom because they don't have the how-to-think. I see the same thing with folks in real estate. They could write a book on what it takes to achieve or whatever, all the, not the metrics, but all the definitions of various ways that you can make a ton of money in real estate. Ask them what they do, and they've got a job. And so the how to think is huge. It is at a minimum 95% of what it takes to reach freedom. And that's why we put it out there. Chris and I have had the discussion a bunch of times looking back. You say, what could have got us there faster? You know, it's pretty rare that somebody gets to freedom at 30. And you hear it from somebody who might be working at a tech startup. Company did an IPO and the person got, wealthy off their shares that they got as being an early employee. We both worked for IBM. That IBM went public hell of a lot longer than our lifetime. So I didn't get any. Did you have any stock options at IBM?
No.
I never did either. So there was
I think only the if you are a manager level, they would give it to you.
Yeah, you had a lot higher title, definitely well above my pay grade.
Yeah, I was down. We report to the janitor.
Oh, you got a promo. I wasn't quite that high. I reported to the guy that reported to the janitor. But the idea on that is, it's very rare to find somebody that gets to freedom at 30, and it's a little less rare to find someone that gets there at 40. And what we have found on that, again, what is stopping people is the how to think. And our thought on putting this podcast together is to say, man, if someone had taken the time to tell me this, I'd have get there a lot faster. And I think you would have too.
Yes.
Right. And so it's our thought. All right. So let's put out there what we wish we would have had. So that's the purpose for putting the podcast out.
I would achieve time freedom before graduating college.
Yeah. Yep. I got a couple people that are that I hope will do that. One of the goals in life, I think that would be really cool, would be if somebody will learn this in high school and college. And, you know, at that point, their living expenses are small. And have them go out and get a job at wherever place they're working. And I've made this offer to a bunch of people to say, if you can do this, I would love to see you walk into your employer after 6 months or a year on the job and submit your letter of retirement, not a resignation letter, but a retirement letter at a very, very young age. And I've offered and said, look, I'll drive the limo. I'll put on the limousine driver hat. I'll walk you in. I'll be your servant for the day. I just want to be sitting in the room when you hand that letter of resignation over to your boss or the HR person or whomever, and I want to see their jaw drop. So for anyone listening, that's an open invite if anybody can pull that off. I would love to do that. Limo is on me.
And that guy's got a powerful blower. Yeah. Yeah, are they cleaning your room or what?
I wish. You shut the window. All right. I purposely don't run the air conditioner in here because then it makes noise across the mic. So I'm going to be a hot and sweaty guy here by the end of this podcast. All right. So today's topic, we've been on a schedule where we put on an episode about once a month. I got this email the last couple of days. I called Chris and said, dude, we got to make an episode on this. This is huge. This is really a cool note, a cool little email and note that came in.
Yeah, usually he waits till the day before we got to put out a podcast to call me and say, "Hey, let's do a podcast." And this time he wants to do an extra podcast. I was like, "Whoa!"
I gave you 2 days' excited. Notice. Yeah, I gave you two days' notice. By the way, if you want to reach us, you can send us an email, investingfromthebeach@gmail.com. You can go to a website, investingfromthebeach.com. Click around on there. There's a contact page. You can reach us there. Send us a note there if you'd like. There's other stuff you might find of interest on that page. Click around on the tabs. What else? If you want to reach us on the phone, easy phone number to remember. It's just think of jumping on a 747 airplane. In 24 hours, you can be at any beach in the world, and that is our phone number, 747-24-BEACH. The numbers are 747-242-3224. I listen to the messages. We've had a number of suggestions for upcoming episodes. We've got them on our list, just haven't recorded them yet. What else? I think that's all the background stuff I'm supposed to do.
Sure. Tell the disclaimer later.
Yeah, we'll do the disclaimer later. Well, let me do a disclaimer now. By the way, we've both been unemployed forever. We don't have a clue what we're doing. We are not licensed. Anything you say on that you hear on the show that we say, just remember the source is a couple of idiots and morons. And so you would be an absolute fool to heed any of the advice that we're going to talk about or take any of our suggestions seriously. Chris, you've been unemployed for how many years?
8-9 years.
8-9 years, and I think I'm coming up on 16, 17, something like that. So clearly we don't know what the hell we're doing because we've been unemployed for so long. In order to be licensed, you have to have a job. Neither one of us has had a job for a decade or two. So clearly go find someone that has a job. They know what they're doing, according to the SEC and whatever other licensing bodies your state has in place. All right. The note that I got, it was sent on September 11th. Let me just read it. And it said, "Chris, hello there in Southern California. This lady and her husband have moved to Nevada, and they did that because of the
painful, nice weather."
Yeah, that and the painful tax structure that you get when you're a California resident. It works upwards in the range of your income is high. I think it's 13% is what you end up paying in income. It's like 10 point something or other for state income tax on the margin. And then you got an extra 2 or 3 points for the high income earners that they use to. They say it's going towards, I think it was mental health or something, but I kind of question that. And, you know, with all the homeless that we see in LA and San Francisco, something.
It's mental health right. for the government employees.
Yeah, must be. But anyway, the top marginal tax rate in California for the residents is north of 10. I think I want to say it's 12 or 13. And so they did some math, and I was talking to a lady that sent the note, and she said, "We did the math and said, hey, look how much we would save if we moved on the other side of the state line." So they moved over to Nevada.
So they're no longer by the ocean?
They are no longer by the ocean and saving tons of money. But she said, "Hello there in Southern California. Hope this email finds you and yours doing fabulously. I'm writing to let you know how profoundly you've changed my life." For those of you that don't know, I do teach a stock class. You can find out about it on the investingfromthebeach.com website. She said, "When I started your stock class, the classes confused me and intrigued me. I started in 2012, and I can honestly say with conviction, tons of study, dedication to your quote-unquote rules, and many slaps in the face when I didn't follow the rules. I did for a time think I knew better than you, idiot that I was. I have now become a lifelong, fully supported by my trading trader," which means basically she reached time freedom. "Through your guidance and teachings, I've built the bricks that have now become my life and my career." If it's your first time listening to this, a brick is basically, it's the output of following the process correctly. So if you get a winning trade, it's a brick. If you have a losing trade that you executed correctly, it's still a brick. And the idea in this is you just want to make brick after brick after brick. And you're going to have losses doing that, no problem. Chris, you're a great teacher. If only your students would listen. I've been riding a trading wave the last 2 years, doing 2 trades a week. I make 5 to 50% gains every trade, and I've had 1 loss in the last 2 years. Pretty good odds. Said I studied my butt off the first 5 years to get me where I am today, but I can honestly say it was, in caps, totally worth it. I'm financially independent now. I can make as much income as I'm willing to put the work into. Don't get me wrong, I work hard at this. It's currently 3:29 p.m. I just finished my homework. I started on the market this morning at 6:05 in the morning. Most days are longer. She goes, because I pay attention to the news going on in the world. I absolutely love what I do. I've never been able to say that as a retired 35-year career accountant. I owe all this to you, Chris, and a special shout-out to Lam for handling my tough options questions. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for giving me this new lease on life, and finally, financial freedom. Oh, by the way, I'll be paying off two brand new vehicles in a few months and our brand new house in a couple of years. Wow, just wow. Thanks
Who's
again,
Lam?
Chris. Said, thank you, Chris, Marcia. So a couple things on this. One, Marcia, congratulations. Thanks for the note. That's really cool to hear. Number two, for the listeners, this is way out of the range of ordinary. I don't know that I've heard of anyone that has done this for 2 years with one loss. I'm nowhere close to that kind of batting average, so that's cool. That is not anything to be striving for those of us that are doing this.
She must be using some program that, you know, gives her red arrows, green arrows.
If you're a first-time listener, he's joking, right? That doesn't exist. But that's cool. But that is not necessarily what we're all trying to get to, where you've got that high of a batting average. But that's awesome. But what's cool on that, what I get a kick out of, so she started in late 2012, if I remember correctly. I go back and check my records. So by the time she finished, that class usually finishes about November. So she started her paper trading in January of 2013. And I got this note in September of 2019, so ballpark 6 years, something like that. She said for 2 years, right, she'd been doing real money trading. I'm sure she was doing real money before that, running two trades a week. So it took her a little over 5 years. She said early on, if you remember, she said, hey, many slaps in the face. I did think for a time I knew better than you, the idiot that I was. That tells me that she was breaking rules and trying stuff that were outside of what was laid out in front of her, basically her roadmap, and she thought she could do it differently. It goes back to the how to think. You don't need to re-engineer the wheel. Just, you know, build the cookie according to the recipe and enjoy the proceeds of it. What's phenomenal on this is she busted her ass. She stands up and admits it and still puts in a ton of time at it. Excuse me. I spoke with her late last week, asked her to be okay if we did a podcast on that. She goes, yeah, fine, go ahead. And I said, you know what's been, I said, so are you sitting at your desk all day long? She goes, no. She goes, I watch the market open. She said, I know the setup that I'm looking for. And if it's there, I trade it. And then I close it and go about doing my thing. She said, I do laundry. I do stuff around the house. I, you know, run errands, do whatever I do. She said, I'm always aware of what's going on in the market, but I'm not glued at the computer screen. I'm not glued to the TV watching every little blip that CNBC says. But she said, but I'm always aware. She goes, I do my homework every night. I study. I'm dedicated to this and I have a focus on it. And as she was talking, pardon me, I had something in my throat. I was reminded of Goggins, and she wasn't flashing profanity, but when we were talking through, she said, you know, Goggins will say, you know, people come up and say, hey, what does it take to go out and run a, you know, these ultra marathons and all that, and how do I get started? What do I eat? And, you know, what shoes to wear? What socks do you wear? And his line to everybody is just effing run, just start doing it and put in the work. And without using the word just effing trade, that's what she does. She sits down, does the work, doesn't worry about it, and just cranks.
You didn't hear any complaints from her?
No, not a bit. Not a bit. But I hear it from a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
You hear it from people. Oh, this is hard. I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. I'm frustrated. I got a couple losses. It isn't working the way I'd hoped it would.
95 out of 100.
Yeah. Wah, wah, wah. Right? Here's a result of what happens when you just sit down, shut up, and row.
Well, I'm glad you asked her if she she's spending a lot of time just sitting in front of the PC all day. Because in her, the what you just read, I what stood out to me, she says, I am financially independent, but I never heard her say, you know, I have time freedom. So I'm glad you confirmed she does have time freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Loves doing it.
And I mean, you know, I think what you learn, you can sit all day and trade if you like. But that's not the purpose of doing this, is to allow you to have time freedom and do more meaningful things, not replace whatever job you're quitting or leaving and to do another job, right, that sits in front of the PC.
Yeah, you're not trying to get, you're not going from being chained at your employer's desk to now being chained at the desk in your back bedroom, right? You're basically just changing the desk and sitting there all day. That's not the intent, not the purpose, not the desire, not the goal. The idea is to replace an income without replacing the hours.
Mm-hmm.
So thought that was pretty cool. What was even better is a few hours before that note, it was a few hours after, within a few hours of that note, got a note from another person. And Chris and I get inquiries, suggestions, requests fairly regularly where people have the idea that they can somehow automate something. And they'll have a great idea about an app, or they'll want to, whatever it might be, automate some kind of process. And it's rare that we get approached when we're standing together. Usually they'll approach one of us and or then the other. I have yet to hear something that made me say, wow, that sounds great. A lot of times it seems to be solving a problem. It seems to be a solution for a problem that I didn't know existed. I haven't heard other people say that it's an issue.
How often do you get these emails?
Which
ones? Requests?
The ones that I just got, the good news ones, or the requests for I want to do an app?
The requests for stuff. Yeah.
Never.
Okay. I thought you said you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant somebody saying, hey, this is the problem I've got. Can you go find a solution for me? I've never had those kind of things. I have people that come up with solutions for problems mm-hmm. that I don't think exist.
Yeah.
So I get those a couple times a year. And the people that come up with those, I want to match them up or have them listen to somebody else that spent the time studying to reach the goal. My guess is this Marcia, the lady who sent in the note that is at Freedom, is not concerned about trying to automate some app. Mm-hmm. Or the functions provided by some app. She's at Freedom. In the 2 years, you know, having a great batting average, she didn't give a rip about the output of some app. She's at Freedom. App might make somebody 50, 100 grand a year. That's awesome. I don't think she would trade that for where she's at today. And for her, I don't know what she's making. Let's say she's making 100 grand a year. I don't have any idea what the number is. Let's just put a number on it just for discussion purposes. For her to make 200 grand a year, to double her income, all she has to do is change the number on the keyboard when she presses the enter key. Rather than buying 10 shares, she buys 20. Rather than buying 10 contracts, she buys 20. And her income goes up. No other impact at all. Or as if you do an app or any other kind of thing, you got to figure out at some point your strategy has to change to be able to make the more dollars. She doesn't have that
issue. Better go sell more.
Yeah, exactly. Or you got to change the strategy. It was getting those two notes back to back was awesome. Because you realize, all right, you know, some people have the engineering mindset, if you will. Hey, let me tinker with something, make it a little bit better. And other people just sit in the boat and start to row. And in that 2 year window, the engineering mindset is still trying to figure out how to do the trading. The other
have the same information.
Actually, no. The engineering mindset person sat in advanced level courses. The other lady did not. They got more knowledge, more detailed knowledge. And they haven't applied it. And the person that just had, and it's not just basic, but, you know, kind of a first level at it, sat down and just started grinding and got it.
Mm-hmm. And say from the outside, if you were to compare Marcia with this other person with an engineering mind.
And it's not just one person, right? There's multiples that have this thing. Yeah. So it's.
But say, you know, person A and person B, mm-hmm. person A being Marcia, person B being, you know, somebody who's savvy with computers and. More technical,
uh-huh.
right? If you just look at it from the outside, who would you pick? You know, just from the outside, you pick who do you pick? What would the normal person pick to say, hey, this person will get it faster?
The normal person would pick the engineer.
Exactly.
Yep.
I think that's why you know, that's the wrong mentality, right? But most people kind of think, hey, if I'm, you know, computer literate and I'm very technical, I know math, right? I'm very analytical. I'm likely going to get this stuff a lot faster than this other person who's kind of, you know, they don't know any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I would say, you know, I haven't seen Marcia for some time, but I remember, you know, she got the work ethic, and you know that she was probably going to, you know, kind of dabble a little bit here and there, but likely she's going to stick with it and follow instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of that. You can see that in the personality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and some, and I,
and she wasn't technical at all.
No, no, and she has an accounting background, so it, and yeah, she's burdened with the thinking that 1 + 1 must always equal 2,
mm-hmm,
right? And in the stock market, it does not. Sometimes it equals 2, and sometimes it's 8, and sometimes it's -14,
mm-hmm,
right? And you have to be okay with that and say, all right, this one, you know, this was an outlier. Don't worry about it. Go do it again. Go do it again. Go do it again. But don't try and sit there and figure out why. Just accept that it is, and go find another one.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people that are accountants, they're okay with being bored. I didn't say boring. Right?
No, no, I understand. You're okay, no, you did not
bored.
Say boring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like it, doing standards.
You know, it does point
over
back.
And over and over and over, maybe.
Exactly. It does point back to kind of the things I've heard Goggins talk about. Quit asking the questions about what shoes should I wear. You know, what should I eat? What? Just go run. Go sit down and grind out and do the work. Don't get wrapped up in distractions. The question should always be, will this make me a better trader? Everything I've been presented on apps, suggestions, whatever else, there isn't once where I can look them in the eye and go, yep, if I did this, this would make me a better trader. It's always the question you want to ask. There's a kind of a side note. I don't think I shared this one with you, Chris. There was a podcast that somebody steered me to, and I listened to, excuse me, a couple of episodes, and it was an interview with a guy from The Biggest Loser, Chris. It's either Powell or Howell. I can't remember, but he was being interviewed by a guy, and it was a, kind of a mindset podcast. And the host was asking me, he said, hey, what do you, he goes, I'm just real curious, how do you motivate and scent whatever somebody who walks in weighing, you know, 300, 400, 500, 600 pounds, and get them motivated to drop weight? He goes, you know, there must be some kind of a discipline issue there. And he had a great line. And I'm going to go listen to it again because I'm going to, you know, like, I'm going to plagiarize it. It was so well said. He said, what I do, he said, what we would do on the TV show, The Biggest Loser, would bring all the people in the room and I'd look them in the eye and say, you know, your issue is that you have no integrity. Because then I just shut up and I stare at them. And many of them would get upset and they'd say, you have no idea what you're talking about. You know, when my family asks me to do something, I do it. I get asked to do something at work, I do it. When I say I'm going to do something, I follow through. He said, that's awesome. You do that with other people. You have zero integrity with yourself. How many times have you said, yeah, you know, I'm gonna clean up my diet and drop 5 pounds. Or I'm going to go to the gym regularly and exercise to try and lose a few pounds. He goes, you say it, but you won't follow through with yourself. You have no integrity with yourself. You'll do it with other people, but not in the mirror. And you think, well, okay, that's great if, you know, that can apply to what you put on the fork or how much time you spend on the treadmill at the gym. But that also applies in your quest to reach freedom. You know, whether you do it in the stock market, whether you do it in real estate, selling stuff on Amazon, doesn't matter. How disciplined are you to follow a set of rules that will get you there? Or do you go off on the distractions? Great message in the podcast.
Oh, yeah, it's well said. It's, yeah. I haven't heard that, but... basically it's challenging them in their mindset, and then it's setting the expectation that what are you going to decide, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's it. I know to save a whole bunch of emails from people, the podcast is a guy by the name of Ed Mylett, Myllett, I believe is how you spell it. I believe it's called Max Out, and just look for the interview where he does with Chris. I can't remember if it's Howell or Powell, but just The Biggest Loser guy. one of the trainers on The Biggest Loser. Great little podcast episode.
So since you're on that topic about losing weight and exercising, so if you were to compare the mindset of two individuals, like we gave an example here in learning the stock market or anything else, you have a person that recognizes this is what they got to do and they go and do it, right? Yeah. So if you were to work out, okay, here's the instructions, you know, eat this, they're going to stick with the plan. They're hitting the gym, they're doing their exercises. And the other person says, how about if I eat this? How about if I did this instead? Mm-hmm. You know, do I work out in the morning or in the evening, in the afternoon? What should I do? And then later you say, oh, you know what? Work out in the morning. Why? How about the afternoon or how about in the evening? Yeah. And then you say, okay, well, if the evening's better for you, okay. Can I work out in the afternoon sometimes too?
And when do I eat? Do I eat before I work out or after?
Yeah, you get all these questions, and then, you know, a year has gone by, 2 years gone by, they're still putting donuts in their mouth. They're still, you know, sleeping in the morning.
Yep.
Right? They're not motivated to get to the gym doing the workouts. And so nothing has changed, and they're building a longer habit of doing the same thing and still asking the same questions.
Yes.
Not starting anything. Right. And so that's the mentality that we're talking about to avoid and to stay away from, is when you set your mind to go do something, just follow instructions and go do it. And I think we mentioned many times is you have to have those three things, the long-term perspective, the work ethic, right, and following the instructions.
And a don't quit. You say long-term perspective. To me, it's a don't quit attitude.
Correct. Yep, yeah, because you usually quit because you don't have a long-term perspective.
Yes.
Right. If you recognize that this is something long term, you're going to stick with it. But if you don't expect it to be long term, you're going to quit. Right? Because I can't see anything that, you know, just have you give you instant results. Right. You got to stick with it. And if it's something that gives you instant results, you don't want it.
Yes. Yep. What else should we cover?
Well, I mean, to just reiterate the mindset, I mean, I think we wanted to just kind of touch on this piece because you mentioned to me about the emails, and it was just very interesting to share with folks, and so they can kind of really see what we mean by mindset and how to think. Mm-hmm. And this is a very good example as it relates to learning how to trade.
And it's a combo of learning how to trade, and it also applies if you're chasing real estate. It's the same thing. If you're trying to go sell stuff on Amazon, it's the same thing. If you're writing apps, cool, it's the same thing. Doesn't matter. Whatever you're putting your effort in to get to time freedom, awesome. Do not let the distractions crop up and slow you down. Keep the eye on the prize.
Also, to touch on the writing apps, you know, some people may be out there going, you know, I didn't write any apps. I'm good. I'm like Marcia. And then they don't realize, you know, they're figuring out how to put together a neat spreadsheet.
Yes.
You know, how to organize the day, right? How to record something down, what format, and all the time not even looking at charts, not even practicing.
Yeah, the delineating question to always ask yourself, and we have a bias towards the stock market. Whenever you're thinking of doing something, just say, look, will this make me a better trader? And if the answer is yes, terrific. If the answer is no, don't waste your time. You say, well, yeah, but if I have a better spreadsheet to track my results, it ain't going to make you a better trader, man. All it means is you can show your results pretty, but it's not going to make you a better trader. Don't get caught up.
Yeah, you don't even have results to show, to track, because you're not trading.
Or you got crap results, but man, they look pretty in that nice, you know, multicolored, multi-whatever labeled spreadsheet with dollar signs and commas everywhere that they're supposed to be. That's awesome. Enjoy your job Monday through Friday, because you are not going to get to success trading if you keep doing that. We know that if you'll put into practice the stuff we talk about on prior episodes, on this episode, and future episodes, you too can get to the point of time freedom. Time freedom to us is signified by being able to go down to the beach anytime Monday through Friday, preferably on a Tuesday when it's the least crowded, and enjoy the waves you hear on a Tuesday. And when you compare the sounds and the crowds that you see at the beach on a Tuesday, you compare that to what you see on Saturday and Sunday, Tuesday waves are so much better. And if you will do what we talk about, we know that you too can get down to the beach on a Tuesday and enjoy those waves. Again, if you've got thoughts or comments for us, voicemail, email is fine. You can check out the website. You can contact us there. And as always, we appreciate you listening. We'll speak to you next time. Take care.
And a big shout out to Marcia and congratulations. And I hope she comes back to California so she can enjoy the Tuesday waves instead of Tuesday deserts.